Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read one verse today, and that's verse 28, Romans 8, 28. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read through the first time aloud, you'll read along silently, and then we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's Romans 8 and verse 28. Please stand to your feet as you're finding your place, if you're able this morning. We understand if you're not able, please stay seated, but in honor of the Word of God, we'll stand to our feet today as we read it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now let's read together, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Father, we do thank you for our text verse today. We love you so much, and we are so thankful you loved us. Now, Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts today through the preaching from this text. Help our pastor physically and filling with thy Holy Spirit spiritually so that he can be a help to us today to hear what you have for us. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to be better because we've been here today and heard the preaching from the Word of God. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody here this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust Christ today before they leave or in the internet that are listening. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, as we keep our Bibles open to this particular familiar verse to many of us, how many of you could quote it without even reading it? You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Somewhere this year, you're going to use that verse. And I tell you why, because you used it last year, didn't you? It's a verse that we mention often here. I've preached on it many times. I intend to break no new ground today. I just want you to listen very carefully this morning. It's a verse that we understand has two parts to it. And we know that all things work together for good. That's part one. Part two is to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Why two parts? Because the first part is God's part. Please remember, do not get on God's side of Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good. That's him. Dear people. And it doesn't just say that. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. There's a step of faith you take. The knowing here isn't some knowledge of the mind. This is a confident assurance that we know that God will do his part, and somehow in his omnipotence, his almighty God ability, he can take all things in our lives and make them turn out for good. The second part of the verse, now that's our part. Please remember this, stay on your side of Romans 8, 28, but be sure to do your part. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, loving God, please, loving God. Brother Tom sang it this morning. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure and measureless and strong. That's a tremendous hymn. That last verse is when the man who wrote the hymn, when he went to... He had put the first few verses down together and was writing it. He went with his church to an insane asylum to visit patients and encourage them. And he was working on the last verse, and it didn't just quite stick in his mind. And he walked down a hallway, and one of the inmates, one of the patients, in a lucid moment of thought, wrote on the wall, "Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I got the last verse out of a man in a moment of his clarity of mind, still was taken by the love of God. That shouldn't be hard for us, should it? To love God. Some of you like him. I said love him. Romans 8:28, our part now is to love God. You understand now that means when you say I love God, that means you love everything about him. You love everything he brought to your life. You love everything about it. You love him. And you focus, by the way, please focus on loving God, would you please? Well, I love God, but you see, this happened to me. Now look at me. You're focusing on what happened instead of him. To them that love God. Shouldn't be hard to love him who's loved you like nobody ever loved you. He loved you when you weren't lovable. He still loves you when you're not lovable. He loved you before you existed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shouldn't be hard to love somebody who loves you unconditionally. My other part of that verse is, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, may I capitalize that for you? It simply means this. You live in God's purpose for your life. He's called you in his word to tell you what to do, how to live your life, and what you're to do. You live that way. You decide that God's purpose is my purpose. What God wants is what I want. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if I'll do part two, he will do part one. So we got the understanding of Romans 8:28. Two parts, God's part, my part. I do my part, God does his part. And we'll know that, and we'll come to know that all things work together for good. Now I'm going to say it one more time this morning. You're going to use that verse this year. Many of you, when I said how many could quote it, two-thirds of the audience put their hand up. My question to you this morning is this. How are you going to use that verse this year? Are you going to quote it or are you going to claim it? Quoting it's one thing. You know, we can just spout scripture all day long. I was watching a video of POWs, prisoners that the North Vietnamese had taken during the Vietnam War. Had them in cages and just horribly treated them. So many of those men knew the Lord and knew their Bible. And what they began to do was to quote as much scripture as they could remember from memory. And they assimilated enough scripture to encourage their hearts in years of torment and conflict. Now we can quote scripture. I've had people do it before, quote me Bible and quote all kinds of verses about things. Quoting a verse is one thing. Oh, by the way, Satan quotes the Bible too. Remember Matthew chapter 4? Jesus' temptation. Satan tempts the Lord and says, doesn't the Bible say, and then quoted him Psalms, quoted him the scriptures. Yeah, quoting the Bible is one thing. Sometimes we get the idea, we just kind of throw a verse at something that makes it all better. Excuse me, quoting is different than claiming. When you claim a verse, and like this verse right here, you're saying this, I don't know how in the world all things can work together for good. Doesn't make any sense to me. I can't even see it. Many times we'll come across something in our life and we'll think, but there's no way this could be good because it's nothing but trouble in my life. You're quoting Romans 8:28, but you're not claiming it. You have to remember something, dear people. Not only is our great God omnipotent, he is omniscient. He knows how it's all going to go. And he knows how it's all going to turn out. And he knows how the timing of things are supposed to be. And when you claim Romans 8:28, you stand in the middle of a difficulty, a valley, a battle, a struggle, something in your life. You'll stand there and say, but you know what? I don't get it, but I know this. All things work together for good. And now it becomes an anchor for your soul. Now it becomes steadfastness that you can put your feet on. Now it's something you can stand on and say, I don't know, but I know this. I know God knows. And all things work together for good. I wish God's people would get the scriptures way past the ascent of our minds and let it get into our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. If you ever spent time in that psalm and gone through it, I know it's 176 verses. Have you ever gone through that psalm and circled and looked at all the different times in that psalm? The Bible talks about your heart and the scriptures. Because something changes when we go to, from just believing what the Bible says to claiming it as ours. Because see, that's why Romans 8:28 looks different in a hospital. That's why Romans 8:28 looks different in a cemetery. That's why Romans 8:28 looks different on the other end of one of those phone calls where your heart is broken and some trouble has come to you. See, you claim it. We don't know how it all is, but we know that all things work together for good. There's something different about a person who knows how to claim the promises of God in their life. Oh, by the way, didn't 2016 prove that to you? Didn't it? I mean, after this past year, I could take that microphone and come around here this morning and walk around to each of you, and I guarantee you there'd be something you went through this past year that you found that there was a God in heaven who knew how to make it all turn out the way it was supposed to. Please remember, the good of Romans 8:28 is not necessarily my good. It's the good God determines that's best. But it still turned out for good somehow. Oh, it may not have been to my benefit, but it turned out to good. Hey, it may not have been what I wanted, but it still turned out for good. God knows what he's doing, people. You hear me? And when you claim Romans 8:28, it should be something that's done so many times in your life by then. Once you come against something or come up to something, you realize, you know what? God knows what he's doing. God knows. And since God knows, we know. And when we know that all things work, and then it's something that you stand on in your life. How are you going to use Romans 8:28 this next year? Are you going to quote it or claim it? How are you going to use Romans 8:28 this year? Is it going to be a cover or a comfort? There is a way in which this verse will not help you. See, Romans 8:28 does no good if the matter that you're facing is about sin. There's something in your life that's not right. You can't quote Romans 8:28 and it won't help you. You can claim it and it still won't help you. For some people, I've seen them do it. They quote Romans 8:28 and they live in something, there's something in their life is not right. The way they live their life is not right. What they're doing is not right. Or they decide they're going to do something that's wrong and they say, well, after all things work together for good. There's a preacher in South Chicago. Used to preach against the lottery system in his area. Just preached against it. Nailed his people, told him, don't you mess with that gambling stuff, and you shouldn't be. Unbeknownst to him, his wife was playing the lottery. And she hit the big one. I don't know if it was $100,000 or $500,000. And there's this pastor standing there on national news with his wife standing there holding a check. And they said, Pastor, you've been preaching against this lottery thing all this time. Now your wife has hit it big. What do you got to say about that? He said, all things work together for good. Ah, yeah. Okay, I got that. Well, Pastor, I know I'm doing what the Bible says I shouldn't be doing. But after all things work together. Now, don't you put Romans 8:28. It won't cover sin. It won't cover wrong in your life. You hear me? If you're going to do wrong, then use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that verse won't cover anything. It won't cover anything that's wrong. You realize when we choose to do wrong, we literally take the hands of God off of our situation. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins are separated between you and your God. You're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to have God out of the prospect. You can't claim Romans 8:28 with sin. It won't work. It won't cover it. And it sounds cheap anyway. But oh, what a comfort it is. You see, when you stand there and you look at a headstone, a tombstone in a graveyard. And you just laid to rest one of your loved ones. And your heart grieves because of your loss. You know, there's nothing wrong with grief, nothing. The Bible doesn't say you cannot grieve. It says we should grieve not as others which have no hope. And sorrow not as of others which have no hope. Oh, we sorrow. We sure do. But somehow in the loss of a loved one even, somehow God has the ability to take and make something good come out of that loss. And it's actually a comfort to you. First of all, if they're a saved loved one, you haven't lost them at all. People, we use that expression. A mother has a mother has a miscarriage, and they say, well, she lost her baby. We've got to come up with another way to express that, because she didn't lose that baby. Almost makes it sound like it's her fault, and that's wrong. She didn't lose that baby. That baby went to heaven. She'll see that child again. That baby's not lost. That baby's with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. David said when his child died, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. Well, we know that. Well, it's different now. We stood beside a coffin about that big with one of our granddaughters. It's different when Romans 8:28 kicks in. It's different. But it's such a comfort. Because you look at these situations and you think to yourself, now wait a minute, how could the death of a child be, how could there any good come from this whatsoever? See, that's me getting on God's side of things. Get off that side of the track. Do not get on God's side of Romans 8:28. You'll get mad. You'll get bitter. You'll question that God knows what's best and what's right. You won't get it. Whether it's the death of a loved one or something like that, loss of a job, whatever the case may be, there's a comfort to it. It's a comforting thought to know, but we know he knows my situation, and we know that he knows what I'm going through in my life, and we know this. So all things will work together for good to them that love God. It's his job. He'll take care of what God's supposed to do. In his time, in his way, he'll do it now. Oh, you'll use Romans 8:28 this year. You use it as a cover or a comfort. When you don't have immediate answers or reasons, Romans 8:28 does provide a comfort that nothing else really can. Please don't try to hide it behind sin. It won't work. Repentance is the issue, and that's where you need to settle things. Oh, by the way, what's amazing about God is this. We do wrong. Look here. We get right. We do the right thing, and you let the consequences for the wrong come, because it will. God always puts consequences to sin. Now listen to me, but that's all right too. That teaches you not to mess with it next time. But even after that, God has the ability to take the consequences of that wrong and turn it into something good even still, once we've repented and made it right. All things work together for good. We know this. Oh, that's a comfort, because maybe I'm the only one in the room this morning who would say this, but there have been times in my life when I did things I should not do. And I came to God and I found his forgiveness. And I sought it and I asked him for it. And I repented of my sin. And even still, though God doesn't use sin, even still he was able to turn that into something good. Something good came out of that also. How do you use Romans 8:28? Do you try it or do you trust it? Some of you, you're standing back and you're putting God and His integrity on trial. Well, I'll try it and see how it goes. But if it doesn't turn out the way I want, I'm not going to. See, you're trying the Word of God. You're testing it. This is why we were over there in Israel. The hotels that we stayed in provided a breakfast meal and a dinner meal. And my goodness, they put out the food. Whoa. And it was good. No pork, but it was good. Couldn't have dairy with beef, with meat, because this Jewish law thing. I don't know what that's all about. But it was interesting. Here we were. Now, this is a bunch of Baptists in the Holy Land. All right. Got all this food laid out there. Gourmet food. I mean, it was very nicely done and presented in little desserts, all kinds of desserts with stuff in them and everything else. And we'd get a plate and go over there and get some stuff and sit down and go, did you get this one? No, I tried that one. We're in the Holy Land. We had been to Calvary. We went to the empty tomb. And we're sitting there having dinner at night talking about, boy, this is really good. Did you try this one right here? We're talking about food. Okay. Anyway. But someone would come back and say, oh, I tried that. This was really good. Go try it. And then we'd go over and try it. Do you know you find out people don't have the same taste buds you do? You put it in your mouth and you go, this guy is sick. There's something wrong with him. This is nasty. You're looking for one of them spit them up napkins where you can get rid of this thing, because what in the world was that all about? I don't know. They tried a couple of desserts. They took, oh, this is the best I've ever had. And I tried it, and I thought, that is nasty. It was terrible. People were trying different things, talking about it. See, that's what people do with Romans 8:28. They're trying Romans 8:28. You're putting it on trial. Yeah, I claimed it one time, and it didn't turn out the way I thought. Oh, no, you were trying Romans 8:28. You weren't trusting it. You didn't really believe that God knows what he's doing. And somehow, see, I found out something, ladies and gentlemen. That good that comes out of all these things in my life doesn't always happen on my time frame. Doesn't always happen the way I think it should. Doesn't always happen when I think it should. Doesn't always produce what I think it ought to produce. See, well, I was just hoping for something that I really thought that's a good thing. It wasn't bad. Doesn't make any difference. Don't you know that when you trust Romans 8:28 and the God of Romans 8:28, he will bring all things together and make it all come together for good. Stop trying God. Try to put him on trial. Well, I tried this with God and it didn't turn out the way I said. Okay, you know, quit that. Look at me. Don't do that. Come back to a simple trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says over and over again, especially in Psalms. It talks about trusting in the Lord, and he will bring you to the delights of your heart. He'll bring things together for you in your life, but you got to trust first to find out. You got to be like Abraham, standing over Isaac there on the Mount Moriah, where we went while we were there, standing there over his son with a knife about to plunge it into his throat and make a sacrifice out of his son. Abraham, the Bible says in Hebrews, believed God would even raise him from the very fires of sacrifice. He trusted him so much he'd take his only son's life because God told him to do it. That's what you call trusting Romans 8:28. If he's going to take it all, then let him have it all. If he wants everything, it's his anyhow. It all came from God, unless, of course, it's your efforts, right? The fact that you're so talented and capable and your ability, you got such great knowledge and such great wisdom, and you've got all this stuff. You know, there's too much of you in what you're thinking, friend. Maybe that's why God sometimes comes along and just, whoo, yanks the rug out from underneath our feet to teach us that without him, we can do nothing. Oh, but with God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Somehow you need to take God off a trial. You need to stop trying Romans 8:28. You stop sampling a little bit. Well, I'll try it for a bit, but if it doesn't go the way I think, well, excuse me. One of the greatest things you'll ever do is read the lives of great Christians, people who did things for God with their life. Every one of them had to go through a time of trial and testing in their life. In some cases, lost everything. It is well with my soul. The great hymn by H.G. Spafford. The great Chicago Fire. Spafford was a successful businessman. When the great Chicago Fire came in the 1800s, Spafford lost everything. His home, his business, all of his financial means, gone. Fortunately, him and his wife and his children were spared. They went to New York, and he was going to send his wife and children on to England while he started to rebuild their life. And on the ship sailing over there, it sunk, and his children drowned. Now he's lost his children. He's lost all of it. It's him and his wife now. It's then that Spafford penned, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Don't you understand, Christian? Trust in Romans 8:28 is more than just saying, well, I'll see. No, you won't see. Here's what you do. He'll see, and I'll wait till he does, and wait till God comes through. And have you come to accept the good of God in your life? Even though it doesn't seem good at the time. Doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't have to make sense to you. Please understand, it doesn't have to make sense to us to be right. It just has to be right with God to be right. That's all that matters. Nothing else. How will you use Romans 8:28 this year? And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?